Hey, my name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor here, which is unbelievable, but I still am here, even though I wasn't here last week, right? This is not a hologram. I'm really here. If you were here last week, you know that we showed a video of me teaching, and that was because Justin was scheduled to speak, and he was really sick. And thank Jesus, he's here this morning, and he's feeling better, and we're so thankful for that. But you know, myself and two other elders, Scott Hammond and Andrew Mason, we were in Hamtramck, Michigan. You know, Hamtramck, Michigan has the largest population of Muslim people in the United States per capita in this little community in Hamtramck. And Hamtramck is surrounded by Detroit. And there we saw amazing things. We were so excited about what we saw God doing there. We were able to visit one of our partners, Daniel and Kathy Snyder. And, you know, that's somebody that we support here. And they are doing a tremendous work there. They are building relationships with, and truly a cross-cultural experience. And there, as they build these relationships, as they just meet practical needs of people, it leads to conversations. And then those conversations lead to these Muslim people being willing to hear about Jesus. And then it leads to them being able to share the scriptures with them. And then over time, we got to hear stories of people who gave their life to Jesus and who are now following God. And that is what it's all about. And that's what, yeah, we can clap for that. Yes. Absolutely. We got to meet some other workers who were there. There are other workers who are there that we are able to meet. One of them you know because he actually came here, John Kirby. And John Kirby came here and spoke a couple of years back. And we got to meet more of his team there and hear stories from the actual people. A Bengali who sat in this living room with us and shared how he gave his life to Jesus after sitting with Uncle John. That's how John Kirby is known in the community there. After sitting with Uncle John for over a year and just reading the Bible together and the power of God's Word to transform and to change people's lives. That is just amazing for what God is doing there. And, you know, we went there to understand how better, how can we provide more of an opportunity for people like you and us to be able to go there and experience these cross-cultural experience without ever even leaving the United States. I mean, it's Michigan. It's easy to get to. And if you could go there and experience it, I'm telling you, you'll have a whole different view. And so what we're hoping is in the very, very near future that we're going to be able to provide more opportunities, different things that are happening there that we're going to get to partner with. And so I'm looking forward to being able to talk with our leaders here and to see how we're going to be able to do that. And you know, when we were there, one of our elders said, Rick, it's like, you know, you have your front lines, but then it's like these guys are like the Green Beret of God's army. You know, they are literally like on the front lines, and they're like the tip of the spear going into these places. And we all discovered this, that there's something about a deeper life about those workers. And that's exactly what we want to look at this morning as we talk about, or we think about this idea that you and I were reclaimed for a deeper life. And this is what we're going to see in the scripture this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. You can go ahead and take your Bibles and go there. But I want you to think about this as you're turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to think about this idea of a deeper life and what it is and what it isn't. A deeper life does not mean you have your dream job, right? A deeper life does not mean that you have all this money coming in, and a deeper life doesn't mean that you have your dream home and you're taking your dream vacations. A deeper life does not mean that. And I know that almost everybody in this room would understand that that's very shallow to think like that. And that's one thing I'm thankful for you guys. You guys don't think like that. You guys know that that's this kind of surfacey, very shallow. But a deeper life isn't this either. It's not having 250 Bible verses memorized. A deeper life isn't being able to quote all the books of the Bible in order. That doesn't mean that you have a deeper life. And what we, you know, the three of us, when we walked away from Hamtramck, we're like, these guys are experiencing a deeper life. We were in workers' homes there. Some of the workers' homes were, you know, were very nice. Some of them were serving the Muslim community where they were doctors and lawyers, and they moved into that community to try and reach them. And so a deeper life doesn't mean that you don't have a nice home. A deeper life doesn't mean that you don't live in a nice neighborhood. And we also experience people, you know, who lived in an average home, who lived in the community there. And they were experiencing a deeper life with their average home. And then we sat in the living room of this two-story or three-story home where probably most of us would be like, ooh, I hope I don't have to live here. Right? I know I was kind of thinking that, to be honest with you, if I'm going to be transparent. I was thinking, oh, Jesus, please don't call me into a neighborhood like that. This is scary. I mean, the houses are literally on top of each other. Literally. I mean, your neighbors could see and hear everything you do next door. You could reach out and touch somebody. You know, you remember that, right? You could touch them if they reached out their hand and touched you. I mean, that's how close they are. And just run down. And yet they were experiencing the deepness, the depth of God. And there were people there who were highly educated, had all kinds of education. And there were people there who hadn't even finished college yet. And at all different spectrums, they were all experiencing this depth of God. And the depth of experiencing a deeper life with God does not mean being comfortable. It doesn't mean being safe. So many times we think, whoa, you know, if I have this deep place with God, then things are going to be going smooth. It's going to be safe. No, it's not. And in this case, it didn't matter which neighborhood you lived in. There's not this comfortableness there. That's not the depth. That's not living a deeper kind of life. In fact, today, this morning, what I'd like to do is define a deeper life like this. A deeper life means that your relationship with Jesus allows you to trust. It allows you to trust in whatever comes, that He's got this. A deeper relationship with God means that whatever happens, that you are just trusting whatever comes, that He's got this. What if you don't have a job? Your attitude, your posture in life is, He's got this. What if your marriage isn't going like you wanted it to? Your attitude, your heart is, He's got this. What if, you know, your finances aren't where you had hoped they would be? Your attitude is that He's got this. See, this is a deeper life with God. What if you could have the best health with God, or you could receive the worst health diagnosis and still experience this deeper life with God? And do you know what else it means? It means that a deeper life means that you have the kind of relationship with Jesus where you act and you will react like He would. This is the deeper life of Jesus. It means that you are able to love people who are hard to love. And let me tell you, you walk into a cross-cultural experience and you immediately tense up a little bit. You can immediately like back up and say, oh, what's going on here? And it would be easy for you not to want to engage with somebody who's dressed totally different than you are. But Jesus says, no, We are called, if we are living this deeper kind of life, it means that we are going to love people who are like that. And so, this morning, I'm asking you to think about this deeper life with God. Do you act and do you react like you are in this relationship with God? Here's what I want you to, in John chapter, I want to share this one verse with you. John chapter, obviously we're having technical difficulties, but I'm just going to keep on plowing through this, right? John chapter 17 and verse number 21. Do you know this is the heart of Jesus, that he wants you to experience a deeper life with him? This is his heart. Peter's going to talk about this, but even before Peter was around, Jesus was trying to teach this to Peter, that he's calling you and I into this kind of deeper life. And in John chapter 17, which again, I'm going to say this, this is one chapter that we all should be very familiar with, because this is a prayer from Jesus that was documented. And as they were writing out, as they are documenting Peter's prayer here, in verse number 21, here's what it says. This is Jesus praying to the Father, and they document it like this. It says, I pray that they will all be one. And when Jesus uses they, he just doesn't mean the 12 disciples. He means you and I. So you could put your name in there. I could put my name in there. I could say, you know, this is Jesus praying. It says, I pray that Rick Moore will be one just as you and I are one. As you and I are one, Father, and I am in you. See, Jesus immediately calls us to that kind. This is his heart for this kind of deeper life. He's calling us to that kind of deeper life, that we would be one. Jesus wants us to have that same kind of relationship that he had with the Father. He's calling you to that deeper life. And here's the amazing thing. Why? In verse 21, here's what it says. It says that so that the world will believe. So that the world will believe. This is why. It's not about you having this safe, comfortable life. It's not even about you. It's so that the world will believe. And what does Jesus want the world to believe? That the Father really sent him. This is why God wants us to experience this deeper kind of life. So that other people, so that those who don't know him yet, will believe that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And my question is to us, are we living our life in such a way, at a oneness, a deeper kind of life, so that the world around us will believe? And Peter's no different. Peter continues in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's what he says. He says, and we're just going to do three verses today here in this chapter. We're going to read the three verses. We'll come back. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. This deeper life. And he says, cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Let's go back to verse number one, though. When he says so, you know, connects us to the previous verses that we talked about last week. Remember last week it was about that Jesus had, God had ransomed us with the life of Jesus. He's loved us like that so that we can love other people. And so he's saying, in order for you to experience this deeper kind of life, the full experience of salvation, you need to get rid of all evil behavior. Period. You see the period? You know, we need to get rid of all evil behavior. Period. And then, as ancient history in the Greeks was very, very common, that in this Jewish culture, what they would do is that they would just start listing some things. And this is what Peter is doing. So he just start listing some of this evil behavior. And he says, be done with all deceit. You know, this is a roadblock for us to experience a deeper life. his students, how are you living your life at school? Are you living this deceitful life? You know, the homework that you're turning in is not yours. The grades that you are getting may not be yours, right? Because you're living this kind of deceitful life. You're cheating. How are you living at work? In the office place? What kind of motives do you have when you're trying to make a business deal? Is it all about, you know, the cash? Are you really trying to deliver some goods and services that really will help and improve somebody's life? Are you living, doing things in a deceitful way? He says, Peter's like, this is a roadblock to that kind of, to live in this deeper life, to be able to fully experience this salvation. And then he says hypocrisy. You know, we all know what hypocrisy is, right? It's pretending that you're someone that you're not. It's pretending that your life is all together. Your life, you know, me and my wife never argue. What, you and your wife got an argument? Right? Come on. We all know. Once you start going there, everybody knows you're pretending. You guys never have a disagreement, really? You know? And hypocrisy shows up all the time like this. In church world, where people will look at somebody else and just, maybe not even with words, but with attitude and body posture, will just be judgmental towards somebody else, pretending like their life is all together, forgetting that their own life is a mess, just like everybody else's. Because without Jesus, we're all disasters. You know, our lives are all disaster without Jesus. But, and do you know this too? You know, this deeper life, remember what Jesus said? Is this deeper life, he's calling us to live like this so that the world will believe. Do you know that one of the reasons why people will use as an excuse, and I get it that it's an excuse, but they use hypocrisy in the church as a reason. You know why? Because they've worked with some Christ followers and they saw how they did business. They saw how they would be deceitful. They saw how they would cut corners. They saw how lazy some Christ followers were. And they were like, really? They saw how they wouldn't love that person that was hard to love in your office space. They saw how you wouldn't love somebody in your neighborhood that was hard to love. And they'll be like, I don't need that. That's from what little I know, I thought God was love, right? Everybody, thinks, you know, God is love. And they at least think that that's how God's people who say they're Christ followers, should live. And then he says, hey, you know what else is a roadblock? Jealousy. Jealousy is a roadblock to live in this kind of deeper life. You know, jealousy, we all know what jealousy is, right? We know when it starts to, when it's inside of us and we're starting to, I wish I had that. I wish, why can't I have that? Oh, I wish I was more like them. Why don't I look more like them? And do you know the bottom line here? Let me say it this way. One of the root causes of jealousy is that we fall into this comparison game. We start comparing ourselves with somebody else. We look at what they have or who they are and we think, I'm supposed to be like that, and we're jealous of that and we're trying to be like them. And in full disclosure, this is hard for me, because I'll look at some other pastors and I'll be like, God, why didn't you give me a mind to think like that? Why didn't you give me a mind, you know, to think in theological terms and depthness like that? And then, in all honesty, it was just more recently that I've been able to be free from that and come to the conclusion that God doesn't want me to be like any other pastor. God wants me to be like Rick Moore, because that's who he created me to be. In all of my simpleness, this is who I am. And I need to be comfortable with who God created me to be. It doesn't mean I don't need to try and get better. and which I do. I work hard at trying to improve. And that's different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being who I am supposed to be, who God has called me to be. And I wonder if you're here today. And students, let me tell you something. This is something some of you students struggle with this. Some of you moms struggle with this. You look at some other mom and it looks like their life is all put together, right? And you struggle. Like, why can't my family, my kids, why can't my Instagram post look like theirs? Right? My Facebook page. Why doesn't it look like they're always happy? They're always out. Oh, look what she made out of that craft. Oh my goodness. Right? Hey, if you're not crafty, that's okay. And when I say that, you know what I mean. That's not who God called you to be. Be who God called you to be and live it to its fullest in this deeper life. And be okay with that. And then he says that we shouldn't have unkind speech. Remember last week I posed those two questions that I heard from two other pastors, two separate pastors. One of them saying, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Did anybody, I hope that you took that challenge. I'm telling you, that question is powerful. You walk it again with your spouse, with the relationships that you have in your home or at work. What's it like to be on the other side of me? And then the other question, what does love require of me? What the kind of love that goes back to this unkind speech? That those things will help us. Well, notice what Peter does here. Then Peter uses this analogy of a baby. He says, like newborn babies, he says, you must crave. You hear that word? Crave pure spiritual milk. This is what he's calling us to crave. Those of you who have had kids, and this has been true for all four of my kids. When they were infants, when they were just little infants, right? They could scream like crazy. And you know what they were screaming for? It wasn't because someone was trying to take them. It wasn't because their crib had collapsed. With Ashley, our very first one, when she was screaming like that, I would be like, oh my gosh, there's something broken inside of her. So he's like, no, Rick, she just wants her bottle. Go get her a bottle and she'll be quiet, you know? And then that whole time while you're testing it out, making sure it's warm enough, you know, and then you go back and that whole time she's just screaming like bloody murder. And so you put that bottle in her mouth and all of a sudden things change. And she's not screaming anymore. And you hear that little sucking noise, right? He says, that's how we need to be spiritually. We need to crave that kind of thing. My question for us this morning, is that ever been in you about spiritual things? Do you have this craving on the inside? Like that newborn infant craving that bottle. Do you crave this growth? Do you crave this relationship with God? If not, I wonder if it's because you haven't invited Jesus into your life yet. I wonder if it's because you haven't placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, as the Savior for you, so that you can be connected to the Father. And then, but notice what he says. He says, as we do this, then that's when we will grow into this full experience of salvation. And you know, it is a progress, just like he talks about this baby craving this, but it's a progress, it's a process, it's a growth. Because you know what? Well, when my kids got to be toddlers, they craved something different. They craved something a little more, healthier, but I was going to say meatier too, but that's not yet. But you know, whatever phase, you know, two and one of those vegetables are, you know, of gerbers or whatever, if people even do that anymore. I don't know if you do. They still have the phases? I don't know if they have the. My kids are older. We don't do babies anymore. But you know, they used to have these different phases of these baby food jars. And you would, as the kids got older, the gradual would go up until one day they can sit at your table and eat a hot dog, right? And they're just stuffing their face and cut up pieces of hot dogs. And I know this is really healthy for you, hot dogs, right? Macaroni and cheese. Hey, for us, that was a lifesaver, you know, for our kids. That's all they would eat. But it's this progress. And what we see, I stopped and thought about the disciples, and I thought, what about there? what about their progress and how do we see that? And one instance that I thought of, what if real quickly we thought about in Mark chapter 6 when in the Gospels when Jesus is teaching all day long. He has 5,000 plus people there, right? And with all those people there, he is at the end of the day, he realizes they have this physical need. They're hungry. And he's like, hey, we got to feed these guys. He's telling disciples, you know, we've got to feed all these people. And here is what Jesus says, but you feed them. Because they were like, what? And then he's like, with what? You know, all the disciples are like, with what? And the disciples said, we would have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread? This is Jesus's comeback to this. How much bread do you have? You see what Jesus always asks? This is one thing I love about following Jesus. He just asks, what do you have? Everybody in this room brings something different and to the table, and everybody brings different amounts to the table, if you will, in the sense of resources. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about as the person of who you are. But every time you only see Jesus asking for just what you have, and a deeper life says, will you just trust me with what you have? And here, they didn't know. This is key, I think. They didn't know. And so Jesus said, hey, go find out. And so they went and find out, and they came back, and they reported, hey, there's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and we know the end of the story. Everybody got fed. There was leftovers. Just a few weeks or a couple of months later, in Mark 8, they run into the same issue again, but it's a different number. It's 4,000 people. Jesus has compassion upon these people. He's like, these guys got to be fed. Let's feed these guys. And again, the disciples are, how are we going to do that? And Jesus says to them, the disciples replied, how are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness? And Jesus asked them the same question, how much bread do you have? See, again, he comes back and says, just bring me what you have. Because that's all that Jesus ever asks. Just come to me with what you have. And then, notice this time, they were able to reply because they knew. They thought, oh, we got this one. Because they already counted the bread. They said, oh, we've got 7 loaves. And then, look, the end of the story is Jesus feeds everybody, right? They get up to leave from this. They get in the boat, the 12 do, and they start across the lake. And they get into this argument because they had forgotten to bring any of the food. Any of the leftovers from feeding the 7 baskets that were left over, they forgot to bring it with them. Nobody thought to bring it. They only brought 1 loaf. And so now they're arguing with each other. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. You're right. The disciples, the spiritual leaders, right? They're like us. They start arguing with each other about whose fault it is. And then Jesus comes in verse 17. He says, Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? And the disciples said, 12. And then he says, and when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? And he said, 7. Jesus says, don't you understand yet? Don't you understand yet? And my question for you this morning is, don't you understand yet that your life has been reclaimed? And that your life has been reclaimed to live a deeper kind of life. And it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be safe, because that's not our goal, to live comfortable, safe lives. Our goal is to live a deeper kind of life. And Jesus, or not, no. Jesus didn't say this. Rick said this. A deeper life means that your relationship with Jesus allows you to trust whatever comes that He's got it. It means that your relationship with Jesus allows you to act and react just like He would. And so that brings us to our very first next step. We take out your connection cards that you got in the bulletin. Right in the bulletin, there are these connection cards. Pull those out. The very first one says, today, I'm asking God to take me to the uncomfortable places in my life so I can grow deeper with Him. That's my question for you. Will you say, pray for me? Will you say, pray that this would be true in my life, that I would go to this uncomfortable places? Some of us have these roadblocks because of sin in our life that we need to bring to God. And you can't get to this deeper life until you get through those roadblocks. Some of us need to just be willing to do some uncomfortable things and love some people who are culturally different than us, who look different than us, or who have some really far out ideas than we do. Because that's the deeper life that He calls us to live. I don't know what your uncomfortable place is. If you would be willing to share with us what your uncomfortable place is, we will definitely be praying for you this week as our staff gathers. And as we pray for ourselves, we don't have this figured out either. We're praying, God, show us these uncomfortable places so that we can live this deeper kind of life with you. And then lastly, you'll see the other next step on there. It says, I have never experienced the salvation of God. I desire to invite Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. Maybe this morning, you don't have a craving for spiritual things inside of you because you have never invited God into your life. And if that is true, man, today could be totally different. Today, see, this is why we always say around here, the gospel transforms us, and it continues to transform us. It's continually to transforming me every day, every week, every month. But if you've never invited Him in, He can't transform you. You've got to invite Him in. And so, Father, we give our life to You this morning. Will You please bring about more transformation in our lives so that we can live this deeper kind of life? And we pray this in Your powerful name. Amen.